Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center Light, the service coming from our home to your home. It's always a pleasure for us to bring this service to you. You stay safe, we stay safe, and we still have a chance to worship together. For those who don't stay to the end when we do our offering blessing, I always like to say right in the beginning how much we truly appreciate all the donations you've been sending during this very challenging time. So, you know, you just receive all of our love and blessing for all the love and blessing you've been sending to us. So now we're going to have Pamela do the opening and the daily word.
Good morning again. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good Omnipotent. Amen. And now it's time for our daily word reading for Sunday, June the 14th, 2020. The key word is divine order, and the affirmation is divine order is always unfolding in my life and in the world. As spring ripens into summer each year, new leaves transform bare trees into canopies of green. Tiny seedlings grow into sturdy plants and decorate the landscape with an array of colorful blossoms. I marvel at divine order demonstrated as the earth renews itself. I recognize that even as the earth appeared barren in wintertime, new life was preparing to spring forth. I notice this pattern in my life. I may be demonstrating visible growth in my life, or, like the earth in winter, it may seem that my life is stagnant and barren. I remember that as the seasons of nature change, so do the seasons of my life. Even when it is not apparent to me, I know that divine order is always unfolding in my life and in the world. And the scripture is Mark 4:28, and it reads, "The earth produces after itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head." We bless that reading.
Thank you, hon. So, we are continuing with our series called Expanding Consciousness Through Prayer. This is part four. You know, we're still on a spiritual request, trying to discover who we are in truth beyond our psychological, emotional, intellectual makeup. You know, the country, the world is in turmoil, which puts each one of us, you know, in a state of turmoil at some level. You know, those of us who consciously believe that we're on a spiritual path to self-discovery may be in somewhat of a quandary, because as we try to unravel who we think we are, we begin to realize that in the face of the present national turmoil, that there's more going on inside of us and affecting us than we're really aware of. And so, you know, a term that's been used by two of the members of our congregation who are experts in the field of diversity is the idea called unconscious bias. You know, just one of several definitions that explains what unconscious bias is. It occurs when individuals make judgments at least partially influenced by gender, race, or other factors, you know, without realizing that that's what they're doing. It's usually based on societal stereotypes, you know, or their own personal biases, or I should say our own personal biases. Another article that I was reading explained that because of the way our brain works, because the way our brain is wired, everyone functions from some degree of unconscious bias in one way or another, okay? So in our biweekly ministers' meetings, I think I tell you that every 2 weeks or so we've been having meetings with the other ministers via Zoom, usually about 40 ministers or so each time. you know, even though the idea, the term of unconscious bias isn't being used, the discovery of such unconscious awareness is the bulk of the discussion. A lot of people are saying it, you know, they're beginning to realize that they had, you know, biases that they weren't really conscious of. But again, you know, it's not something a lot of times that we do on purpose. We have a lot of conscious bias, yes, but the idea of unconscious bias is just something that's been part of our experience that caused us to see things in a way that we didn't even realize we were doing. But however, you know, even though it's a psychological and emotional, it's psychologically and emotionally necessary for each of us to explore our own unconscious bias, it is imperative that we continue on our spiritual path, which will have the greatest impact on helping us to discover and heal the deepest blocks we have to our spiritual awakening. So what we're going to talk about in this particular lesson is how our unconscious bias are blocking us from evolving as spiritually as we would like to, you know, actually blocking our prayer as well, you know, because we are praying in a way that we might not even realize that we're blocking our own, you know, our own spiritual unfolding. So for the past 3 weeks, we've been investigating how to keep ourselves from merely using spiritual ideals as a patch to cover up, you know, our old ways of thinking. All right. A lot of times we'll do that. We get an idea and we, you know, we say, well, I like that. And we kind of grasp onto it. But it really doesn't cover up, you know, our old way of thinking. So instead, we're exploring the idea of using each new thread of spiritual understanding we gain to weave a whole new web of mind. Now, you remember the reading from last week's lesson, and I got it from, you know, A Course in Miracles, A Daily Dose. I just want to go over it again. That was said, lying deep within the awareness of our human mind is a doorway to the fulfillment of our yearning for the realization of our own perfection. Past the tapestry woven by the illusionary limitations of space and time is the discovery of the infinite reaches of universal mind. Okay? So that's, you know, what we're striving to do, is we're trying to get past the old woven dynamics that we have and allow ourselves to actually, you know, create a whole new mind. And our quest is not to Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for doing that. Our quest is not to patch the old with the new or to fill the old with the new. Rather, we want to examine the outcome of weaving a whole new mental cloth to provide a new receptacle, a new consciousness to receive the revelation of God, okay? And that revelation is really what we're looking for, because, you know, revelation is when all of a sudden you get it. You know that moment you have when you know that you know what you know? You know, you've just, all of a sudden it hits you, and you got it. I know a lot of you will say to me, you know, you're listening to a Sunday service, and, you know, things that I've said, might have said before, all of a sudden you heard it this time. So that's what we're trying, that's the revelation of God, is when all of a sudden you really hear it at a very deep level within your being. However, first, it's important to understand that until we are willing and able to see and tell the truth about ourselves, we are powerless to make change, okay? So in the book Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, he expressed a thought that gave us a clue about this whole idea of unconscious bias. And again, I want to bring this up so that you can, you know, look at it with me. So he says, apparently, even though one undergoes untold millions of individual experiences in one's life, only a few lessons are usually learned. The attainment of wisdom is slow and painful, and few are willing to relinquish familiar views even if they are inaccurate. Resistance to change or growth is considerable. It would seem that most people would rather die than alter their belief systems that are keeping them confined to lower levels of consciousness. Okay, so that's, you know, that's really an interesting, powerful thought. You know, you have to ask yourself, would I rather die than give up my existing belief system? And most of us says, no, you know, especially if you've been doing this for a while, no, I'm willing to move on, but yet, you know, if you really think about it, there are some things that we're really, really hanging on to. So being trapped within our own ego-centered perceptions, we often feel as if we cannot or do not want to change our present perceptions. But as we evolve through the process of becoming more spirit-centered, I like to put it that way, we come to know that no matter what is happening in our lives right now, if we will allow it, our consciousness can be elevated by spirit, and we can be changed and healed to the depths of our being, and that's what we really want. So a great part of the process of creating a new mind in Christ that is truly open to divine inspiration is to be sincerely willing to let go of a lot of old stuff. And according to David Hawkins, again, the author of the book Power versus Force, and other scientists studying the relationship between science and spirit, old negative buried thought processes that are buried deep within us, they act as attractors, drawing us to, you know, more of the same negative energy. So the question is, how sincere are we in our desire to expand our consciousness beyond our unconscious bias through prayer? All right, did you kind of catch that? So through prayer, we're seeking to expand our consciousness beyond our unconscious bias. And again, a lot of the things we're not conscious of. So this process of prayer is digging deep within us and helping us to bring that dynamic up. Okay. So Dr. Hawkins, in his book, Power versus Force, this is what he says. He says, enlightenment is said to be relatively rare. Okay. Not so much because of the difficulty of following the necessary steps to get there, but it's because of a condition of interest. It's a condition of interest to very few people, particularly in modern society. If you were to stop 1,000 people in the street and ask them, what is your greatest ambition in life? How many of them or how many of us would say to be enlightened, to expand my consciousness beyond my unconscious bias? Okay? Not many of us would think to even say that. Now, maybe because we've been studying for a while, you might think to say that. But most people are not even thinking about this idea of expanding consciousness, not in a spiritual way. So think about it. How many of us really want to break free of the entrapment of our ego perceptions? Okay? True prayer is a willingness to be changed by the prayer and elevated to a higher level of consciousness that is free of entrapment. And I think it was in the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. You know me, I always like to bring stuff up from movies. And, Pam and I keep joking about the fact, we watched that movie a long time ago. I think it came out in early 2000s. And we watched it again, and I said to Pam, it's like I'm watching it for the first time. I couldn't remember it from before, right? But in that movie, Crouching Tiger, one of the characters said, sometimes when you cannot see the truth within you, it is because you have consciously or unconsciously blinded yourself to it. Okay, so a good indication of the effectiveness of your prayer effort is if you're feeling that your prayers are not being answered, it may be an indication that you're not allowing yourself to be healed and raised above and beyond that which you are praying about. Okay, and that's what it's all about. It's not the fact that you want to pray and ask God to fix this. God is really going to be working more with helping you to understand what needs to be happening within you, which is, again, from the book from Dr. Hawkins. This is another one of his books. It's called The I, E-Y-E, and The I. That's the name of the book. And he says, when you pray, God seeks to, and this is a big word, $10 word, seeks to recontextualize the illusion of the problem, thus causing it to disappear. So he says, we place our experiences in certain contexts, calling them good or evil, right or wrong, positive or negative. So I'm saying that when we pray, when we perceive the context to be evil, wrong, and negative, that's the process that we're trying to get beyond. And that's that dualistic mindset. Okay. However, when we pray, God does not seek to change the condition we're praying about. Again, God seeks to recontextualize our thinking so that we can break free of the bonds that have us imprisoned in a lower state of consciousness. Okay, so lower states of consciousness, ask in prayer for the world to be changed. So if you're asking for the world to be changed, that's coming from a lower state of consciousness. Okay, and that is the process that we may be left with when we're trying to understand how to make this process. That's the process we may be left with as we are trying to evolve past this, okay? And again, I know all of us right now are praying for the world to change. But again, that's that macro dynamic. We know before anything can change out here, it must first change in here. And that's the nature of these lessons we're going through. So it is our unwillingness to be changed that creates our insincerity. Our insincerity is created by entering into prayer with unwillingness to eventually let go of the ego perceptions that rule our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Okay, so it's recorded in, let me just cut to another, it's recorded in John 12, 31 through 32, that Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out." Let me say that again, because that's important. "Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the world, I will draw all people to me." Now, we're going to really look at that in detail in terms of what Jesus was getting at. So anyway, when Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment on this world," he set the universal rule that is the foundation of all conscious raising endeavors. That being, one is powerless until one is able to tell the truth, until one is able to willingly to admit that he or she is not operating from complete integrity and compassion, okay? So an open, honest mind and a willingness to surrender to a power greater than ourselves are necessary prerequisites for spiritual progress. They are necessary prerequisites for expanding your consciousness through prayer, okay? So this judgment that Jesus is referring to is a judgment or observation we must apply to ourselves, not to others. So it's not about judging other people. It's about looking, you know, observing ourselves. Self-observation, say it with me, without condemnation, okay? So we have to apply that judgment to ourselves to evaluate our own willingness to surrender our resistance to being transformed by the renewing of our minds, okay? And when Jesus said, "Now the ruler of this world will be driven out," he was referring to the human ego that does not perceive the gifts of God, okay? So some Bible translations use the word Satan in place of ruler, okay? A term that may be helpful to your mental imagery of this concept is adversary. So the reference to Satan as the ruler of this world is the ego acting adversely to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, okay? So if you find yourself receiving sort of this divine guidance, these divine ideas, and you're acting adversely to that, then that's what they're calling the ruler that must be taken out of this world. And Jesus said, you know, now is the time for this ruler to be driven out, okay? There is a lot of fear that's going on. And again, not negating the fact that the fear that and the angst that a lot of us are feeling is very real. But that's what we're talking about driving out if we're talking about coming to the world from a higher spiritual consciousness. And we're going to get into some of the science of that in a minute, okay? So, and when he said, "And I, when I be lifted up from the world, I will draw all people to me," Jesus was referring to the powerful electromagnetic pull of one consciousness upon another, all right? But to be lifted up requires great mental, emotional strength and courage. So to add some science to this discussion, I want to revisit the scale of consciousness explained in the book Power versus Force. Now this will be, what's the word I'm looking for? This will be review for many of you, but if you're like me, that's been years since we looked at this, and I wanted to really bring this up so we could look at this together. So the scale goes from a low of 20, which is the level of shame. So if you're feeling shame, you're operating in that very low level of consciousness. It goes to the level of 30, the level of guilt. If you're feeling guilt, again, a very low level of consciousness. To 50, the level of apathy. To 75, the level of grief. Okay. To 100, the level of fear. To 125, the level of disappointment. To 150, the level of anger. 175, the level of pride. And 200 is the level of courage. In other words, this is the level of consciousness at which you now have the ability to make strong movements towards whatever it is you're trying to achieve in life. Usually below that level, you're having a real struggle to get to try to get through those things that you're trying to achieve in your life. Okay, so 200 is a basic level, one much of reach, to break free of feeling like a victim and to be able to consciously begin the spiritual journey. All right, now, I think we had actually said last week that, yes, you know, we don't want to live, we want to transcend our intellect and live from spirit, okay? But it's the intellect that gets you to that level of 200, okay? Along with prayer and so forth, but it's a process you really have to consciously work at, okay? So again, 200 is that level. And again, you know, levels of consciousness evolve. David Hawkins' work, Power Versus Force, if you have not read the book, he's a kinesiologist and he scientifically has created these levels of consciousness along with other people in that field of kinesiology. So the levels move from 200, you know, all the way up to 1,000, and 1,000 is a level of pure knowing, the level of enlightenment that is reached by people like Jesus and Buddha and other enlightened masters. It has been scientifically established that our consciousness is capable of discerning and responding to higher levels of consciousness exhibited from one person to another. So this means as you raise your level of consciousness, you counterbalance and give hope to a specific number of individuals who are functioning at lower levels of consciousness. That's a powerful thought, okay? Now here's an example. Bill W., the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, he had a spiritual experience that was so significantly altering and consequently raised his consciousness that he counterbalanced, gave hope to, and raised the consciousness of hundreds of others, who in turn impacted hundreds of others, and so on, until now millions of people around the world have been positively affected by what Bill W., you know, accomplished within his own consciousness. So again, that's sort of an example of as you raise your consciousness, you have a counterbalance effect on people at lower levels of consciousness to help them also raise as well, okay? So it's been established that only 15% of the world's population is functioning above the critical consciousness level of 200. That's kind of scary. But if you look at all the wars, you think about terrorists and, you know, a lot of things that have happened lately, you have to say to yourself, now that you understand this concept a little bit, those are people who are operating at a level lower than 200, okay? So, you know, even though that's still only about 15% of the population, the collective power, listen carefully, of that 15% has enough weight to counterbalance the negativity of the remaining 85% of the world's population. So to add this science to validate Jesus' statement, when I am lifted up from the world, I will draw on people to me. So a single avatar like Jesus, functioning at the consciousness level of 1,000, can counterbalance and give hope to the collective negativity of the entire human race on the planet. All right? So this gives some science, listen carefully, this gives some science behind the Christian ideal that Jesus is our Savior. As an example, you can hopefully relate to this, you know, I'm sure that there are those listening to this message right now who is functioning at the level of 310. I know there are folks out there who's listening to this message who's functioning at the level of 310. Now, this is a level where your view of God is inspiring, okay? Your view of life is hopeful. You know, listen and see if you're one of these people. Your emotional level is optimistic, and you move forward in life with positive intentions, and your consciousness is open and willing, okay? So according to the extensive testing and studies done in the field of kinesiology, at the consciousness level of 310, listen carefully, you have the power in your consciousness to counterbalance and raise the hopes of 90,000 people functioning below the level of 200. So in this whole thing we're going through right now of expanding consciousness through prayer is not just for our personal individual benefit, but as we raise our consciousness, we can counterbalance many folks who are operating at lower levels of consciousness and help to bring them up. So Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I will bring all men to me, all people to me, okay? Because he was operating at the highest level possible. So in the book, Power versus Force, it's estimated that if it were not for the counterbalancing power of positive over negative, humankind would self-destruct out of the sheer mass of its unopposed negative energy. Now, I shared this with you many times before, and I wish Patty was here to remind me of the person's name. I can't think of his name now, but in his book, he talked about a society of people, masters, who do nothing but hold the consciousness of the planet, okay? And I said to you before, we want to be part of that. We want to be part of Greg Braden's square root. We want to be part of that, you know, higher consciousness that is counterbalancing and holding the positive energy of the planet. And more importantly, to your work as an essential light worker, remember from last week, you know, that we are essential light workers. So more importantly, to your work as an essential light worker, Dr. Hawkins and others in this field conclude from their analysis that if you embrace just a few loving thoughts during the course of a day, just a few thoughts, you know, just, you know, holding on to some love, even if what's outside of you, around you, may be challenging, turn within and hold some loving thoughts about people in your life or things you're doing or whatever. So just a few loving thoughts during the day will more than counterbalance all of your negative thoughts, keeping you from self-destructing. So all of this scientific investigation of the power of consciousness and its ability to not only elevate our own lives, but the lives of countless others, proves the necessity of taking time throughout the day to become still and know the power and presence of God in your life. And you don't necessarily have to, you know, go off into a corner some way and sit in a certain position. It's just you in the moment. You just, you know, go within and reflect on the power and presence of God in your life and be grateful for the power and presence of God in your life. But Jesus gave us a warning in Matthew 26:41 when he said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our ego will want to claim a high level of consciousness. You know how we, you know, like to do that. Okay, I think I told you the story many times, and some of the people on the internet probably haven't heard it. When I was at Unity of Washington, D.C., and I wasn't even a licensed teacher, and I was doing the Sunday service, and people were coming up to me and telling me how much they enjoyed it. And I could see this one woman parting the wave of people and pushing her way through to get it all the way up, and she came right up to me and says, "Why is it you never speak to those of us who have a highly evolved consciousness?" You know, so that's what the ego will do. It'll make us believe that we have a high level of consciousness. But no matter what we want to claim, in order to grow spiritually, we must come to grips with where we really are before we can evolve any further. So as we said before, we must be willing to discover the truth about ourselves before we can advance spiritually. Okay? So I'm sure that if we were asked about our sincerity towards being changed, we would, you know, exclaim, "Yeah, I want to forgive. I want to let go and be changed deeply." But, you know, at some level, we might say, "But I just can't seem to do it." You know, especially if you have this unconscious bias that, you know, you're beginning to discover you now have this bias. In the ministers' meetings and in other conversations I've had with people, I've heard people say, "Oh, wow, you know, I just realized that I have a bias about so-and-so." Okay. So, you know, if you have that, you might be struggling to, you know, to let go and forgive and whatnot. But, you know, usually you just can't do it a lot of times because what's going on, if it's so deeply embedded in your consciousness and in your unconscious bias, that sometimes it's a struggle. So this is the burden of the human dilemma that we want to overcome. However, it is important to understand that we struggle with letting go because we cannot change ourselves. Let me say that again. The reason why we struggle with letting go is because we cannot change ourselves. Remember my famous saying, the ego cannot jump out of the ego, okay? We can only allow ourselves to be changed. We can be, you know, we are changed through enlightenment and revelation, both of which come through us through the Holy Spirit, but we access that through prayer, okay? So that's the process. We access this revelation through prayer. Now, I cannot change myself by myself, and you cannot change yourself by yourself, okay? None of us can change, you know, ourselves in it. So I repeat the statement of Jesus found in John 5, 19, and I say this over and over again. We all have to come to understand that I of myself can do nothing. As Jesus said, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. So if we sincerely want a close, conscious relationship with God through prayer, we must learn how to allow ourselves to be healed to the depths of our being. Okay? And it's very probable that, you know, most of us innocently believe that we can develop a spiritual consciousness, you know, a close relationship with God, and somehow at the same time remain as we are. That just is not going to happen, okay? And Dr. Maurice Nicole, that's a name, I can't think of his book, but Dr. Maurice Nicole, he was an interpreter of the works of Gurdjieff and Uspensky, which in their original were very challenging to understand, but he, you know, broke them down and made them a little easier to understand. He says that the eternal worldly side of a person, the pretending side, cannot truly pray at that level of consciousness. And again, like we said last week, yes, we can pray and we do pray as we are. But what these masters are talking about is pray in a situation, in a position of total surrender, okay? So we may be able to fool each other and ourselves, but when we pray, it is not possible to fake or display an attribute that we do not really feel or believe within ourselves. We may fool ourselves, but God cannot be fooled, okay? So the Holy Spirit is constantly, you know, making whole anyone who is seeking to come into contact with God through prayer. So we each must ask ourselves, am I willing to be made whole? Ask yourself that question. Am I willing to be made whole? But we must realize prayer calls for us to be patient with ourselves and the unfolding process that we're going through. The revealing word says that prayer is the only way to cleanse and perfect the consciousness and thus permanently heal the mind and body. And often we're discouraged in prayer because we're not immediately conscious of any change in ourselves. You say, I've been praying, and nothing different seems to be happening. But be assured the results are occurring deep inside of you, okay? So I end this lesson by inviting you to think about your own willingness to let go and let God have a healing, transforming presence within you. And this week, affirm for yourself, in Christ, I am healed and made whole. And so it is. Amen. We'll now have meditation with Pamela.
So as we prepare for meditation, I'm going to ask you to find that comfortable space right where you are, placing your feet flat on the floor and your spine straight. You can close your eyes if you would like. I invite you to relax, take a breath, and pause in this moment as you allow spirit to restore your natural balance. Breathe and relax into this quiet moment and allow spirit to restore your natural balance. As you breathe in and out, give yourself the greatest gift of all time, to stop, breathe, and allow joy to bubble up within you, right here, right now. In my quiet time, A realization of calm rises within me. The people, noise, and confusion that seemed right in my face have retreated. I feel such relief that I breathe easier. I relax and feel the tension in my arms and shoulders melt. Now, as my body comes into balance, I make my way to that secret place of the Most High. I am at the threshold and remember that I must let go. I must release anything not serving me before I may enter the secret place. As I step through the door, I take a seat and feel that I am home, a place where I may commune with Spirit and realize the answers to my prayers. This wondrous place exists in my consciousness, and I feel the love, I feel the peace, the joy, and the faith that God has given me. Dear God, I am conscious of your presence. I recognize that your order is continually supporting me. My responsibility is to be aware of the order that is here and to flow with it. What a wonderful surrender this is. I am giving up worry and stress and allowing myself to be immersed in your order and peace. So now, Holy Spirit, with my heart wide open in my time of quiet, I immerse myself in your order and your peace. Without the sound of my voice, take the next few moments to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and rest in the stillness. I am thankful, Holy Spirit, for my answered prayers, for the guidance you give me and the divine order in my life. Thank you for life abundant, gratitude for where I am and the road ahead. And I say thank you in the name of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. So now come back slowly to your surroundings and always remember that the Unity Center of Light is here for you. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, hon. Mm-hmm. So this is the time we usually do our offering blessing. And Ashley, let me bring that up. What you say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So we're going to first, you know, just again, to thank you for the wonderful, you know, offerings that you send in and support us during this time. And, you know, hopefully that you're also being blessed by what we're giving you on this Sunday service. And remember, right after this service, we're going to have our Zoom session, which we look forward to seeing you in. If you have not joined us in a Zoom session, it's a, you know, a wonderful, you know, opportunity to share with the other Unity people and to hear some great music. Okay, so with that in mind, let us do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. So we are, you know, moving on to the idea of blessing ourselves and the world with the prayer protection. As you think about that prayer protection, you know, think about all of the things that that prayer means, not just to you, but to, you know, to everyone. So as we say that prayer together, you know, really hold it in your heart to send some blessings out to this, you know, very challenging time that so many people are going through. So together, the light of God surrounds us.
The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well.
And that's the truth. All right. So we will see you next time. Let me go back so we can see you. We'll see you next time. And we look forward to sharing service with you again. In the meantime, have a wonderful week.
Yes, a wonderful week. Okay.